It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Don't women know this by now that free drinks come with
a price?
Yeah, they come with a price. There's no such thing as free.
Well, sometimes you can zoot out and you get the free drink and you don't have to have any uncomfortable interactions. But I learned this weekend that nothing in life is free. And I had to learn it the hard way when me and my friend decided to go out and, I don't want to say scam, but we schmoozed our way into getting like $100 worth of beverages at the St. Regis Hotel.
Yes. Oh, damn, that's one drink.
We shared one. We were like, please, sir, just give us one glass of wine.
Listen, ladies in Atlanta know the St. Regis bar is the place to go if you're looking for a sugar daddy.
That's where the Richie Richies are right there.
Yep.
But they know what they're there for also.
Yeah, they do. Uh-huh. I think so. So me and her decided to have a girls' night out. There's a new restaurant in Buckhead called Del Bar that has a couple of locations already around Atlanta. And I've been to all of them. I've been to the Inman Park one. I've been to the one in Alpharetta. And I was like, oh, perfect. There's one down the street for me. Why don't we go check it out, have a girls' night, and maybe bop around to some of the fancy cocktail bars. So we go to Del Bar, loved it, had a great time. And then I look at her and I was like, I'm not ready for this night to end. You know when you have that second glass of wine and you're kind of teetering where like you could either go home, call it a night, not have any shenanigans happen, or you could just cause a little bit more commotion, a little bit more chaos on a Friday night.
That decision can also happen in a bathroom when you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I look too good to go home tonight.
Yeah. Never want to waste a good outfit in a full beat.
I was like, if I'm putting my hair on, if I'm putting my makeup on, if I've got the contour going, I need someone to appreciate it. So we wrap up our checks at the restaurant and I look at her, I'm like, you know where we should go. I was like, this is kind of the perfect time of night. We had gotten kind of an early reservation, so we're wrapping up around like 7:30. I was like, this is usually when the old men at the St. Regis start to get a little tipsy and are about to head home for the night. Because the St. Regis kind of has like a pivot point at the St. Regis bar. Like around 9 p.m. is when people my age start really clocking in. But if you go there from like 7 to 9 on a weekend, maybe not a weekday, you're going to find yourself a sugar daddy. So we roll up to the St. Regis bar down in Buckhead and there's like a perfect spot. There are two seats, one for me, one for her, right next to a group of men, probably in their early 40s. So we're like, ah, perfect. Because men in their 30s could still kind of maybe like scoff at us and like say we're the 18-year-olds. But the 40-year-olds, like they're fine with somebody in their late 20s.
And fun fact, the men in this city in their 40s refuse to date any woman unless she's in her 20s.
In this city or in this country? Or in this globe?
It's
a world.
It triggers a little high here in the Atlanta area.
There's Peter Pan syndrome in Atlanta, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So we sit down next to them and there were four of them. And so we start like organically starting up some conversations. And we honestly, for all intents and purposes, like we are going to order at least our first round of drinks. We're like, we'll order a glass of wine. We'll order an espresso martini. And, you know, maybe if we're lucky, we'll get an extra bev out of this. But immediately, like these guys just instantly like globbed onto us and were so interested in our lives. And I was like, oh, this is perfect.
It's a group of guys or two guys?
There's three guys. Okay. So we're sitting there and the waiter comes around, asks me for my order. I tell him what I want. And he goes, do you want the 6 ounce, the 9 ounce, or the whatever ounce? And I'm like, just a small one, just a small glass, because it's, again, $25 for 6 ounces. And he takes away the menu. He pours my drink. And he fills it literally like Dwight Schrute style all the way to the top. And I'm like, sir, I can't afford that. And the guy next to me goes, don't worry, this one's on me. Oh. Because I did the smart thing, ladies, because I was asking what their recommendations were. I was like, oh, so like what glass of wine are you drinking? And he's like, oh, I'm drinking the from Sicily, Italy. And I was like, sir, I'll have one of those. And so he was so flattered that I chose his wine. I think he was like, okay, I'll pay for yours.
Okay, it sounds expensive.
It was literally like $25 for a 6 ounce. So I end up getting the glass of wine. And then all of a sudden, once we got our beverages, that's when they started moving in a little bit closer. Mm. And there was this one guy, we'll call him Jack. Jack comes around, he like puts his arm around me and he's like talking to my friend. I'm like, whatever, this is kind of like, you know, this is how it typically goes.
Of course, and then he, like, you call it wine, we call it bait.
Yeah. he's like bending down. He's like, why don't you girls follow me on Instagram? I'm like, you're like 50 years old, my guy.
Why don't you guys follow me on MySpace?
I'm friends with Tom. He's like, do you want to sign my yearbook? I'm like, no, it was from like 1975. And then, you know, that kind of happens with another guy and they come around, they put their arms around us and they definitely, I don't know if they start thinking that we're like ladies of the night or whatever. But then we start getting in this conversation with this one guy. The two guys had left. They were like inviting us to the Garden Room, which is another restaurant down the road. And they're like, we'll see you guys in 30 minutes. And we're like, see you never. And this one guy stayed and he wasn't really that drunk, but he just said the most jarring thing that could have come out of his mouth. It caught us so off guard because it wasn't sexual. It wasn't like he was coming on to us. It was... I think we realized that one of the other costs of talking to these older men at the bar is that sometimes you have to listen to them vent about their home lives.
Oh, God.
And this man, I guess, has like a complicated situation with his baby mama. He was venting about her and how she's so lazy and she doesn't do anything.
Oh, Lord.
And then he looks at me and my friend directly in the eye. And for context, we're both white women. And he looks at us both and goes, did you know that white women were the reason for slavery? And we're like, what? Why are you?
That took a turn.
What?
We're now, like, I think there's some context here. Is this a white dude or a black dude?
It's not a black dude and it's not a white dude. So that's why we were really caught off guard too. We're like, where is this coming from? Like, you're mad about something and it's not us. And we're just kind of sitting there and I just look at him and I go, that's an insane thing to say. That's what you said. Dead ass. I look at him. I had no idea how to respond. But then as a woman, as an empathetic white woman with some guilt, I go, wait, do I have my facts wrong? Were white women the reason for slavery? And then I'm like looking at my friend. I was like, Google it. And then he just starts going on some tirade. And I look at her. I was like, we got to get out of here because we're about to get in some kind of debate.
you paid a price for that glass of wine.
I was like, I am not prepared to win this. So I was like, thank you so much for the conversation. It was lovely meeting you. I hope whatever is happening sorts itself out.
I hope you get to the bottom of this.
The Burt Show.
All right, speaking of cash and expensive drinks and stuff like that, Post Malone once again proving that he's like the nicest guy in show business.
This story warmed my heart, being a former server. I know, Mo, you were also a former server.
Thanks.
And you would dream of a night like this. So that's why I want to ask our Burt Show fam, if you are currently a server, you are a server in a past life, what's the biggest tip you ever got? Like the
money-wise.
Yes. Yes. So like one table, one person came in and it obviously they couldn't have been spending like buku bucks and they gave you 20%. I'm saying like the difference, like for me, I had an old guy come in and get a Diet Coke and he left me a $300 tip.
Ooh.
Nice.
So I'll get to that here in a minute. But 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. That's the kind of tip I'm talking about because Post Malone was charged $1 and he tipped this woman $20,000.
Now, he must have known her for a long time, right?
Nope.
Complete stranger. All right. So a 36-year-old bartender in Houston had a very good Christmas courtesy of Post Malone. So Renee Brown is a single mom with no other family. She works two jobs and homeschools her daughter. She was working the late shift at this neighborhood bar called The Rail Yard on Christmas Eve. It was a slow night until Post Malone and Shaboozy show up with some of their friends.
Whoa.
So she said the group hung out on the patio, played some songs on the jukebox. They were there till like 2 a.m. Post Malone goes to pay the check, but he didn't have one. his friends and a few regulars, they had bought all his drinks. It's like the perk of being famous. You get all this money and then you don't have to spend any of it because people buy everything for you. But he wanted to leave a tip. So he asked Renee, hey, just charge me for something, whatever. And if you're a server, you know, you can go in and just do like an extra charge. So she literally just charged him $1, ran his credit card. When she was closing down, she checked his receipt and realized he had wrote in the tip section, $20,000.
It was on Christmas Eve, right?
Yep.
Perfect timing.
And she said he was the most humble celebrity she's ever met. That's she incredible. Goes, if this message reaches him, I know I told him that night how grateful I am, because she saw that and she ran up to him and she's like crying and like, you changed my life. They took a picture together. He looks really zooted. I hope he remembers what he did. But, and because she was in a position, she was struggling to get by. She hadn't had a car for 2 years. So this $20,000 tip was literally life-changing, turned her life around.
Would you have shared with your others, with your fellow servers?
Oh, so if I had somebody else there helping me, like, you know, bussers, bartender, tip, mm-hmm. I definitely would have tipped them out extra, but I'm not like splitting it halfsies.
Yeah, I'm not splitting it either.
No.
But I'll give you a little something.
I'll give you, for sure. So like, that's why I was thinking back and my years serving, when I was serving in an upscale restaurant owned by a family, I didn't get to work in the dining room because I wasn't fancy enough. I worked in the bar and there was an older gentleman that had taken a liking to me. And he would always come in and sit at the couch at the back of the bar, and he only ordered like a Diet Coke, and I was lamenting that my TV was broke and I needed a new TV. So what does Frank do? He orders his Diet Coke, I bring him his check, and he tips me $300 on the Diet Coke so I can buy a TV.
Dude, nice. Well done. Hey, Ashley, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. We're not going to go as high as $20,000 here, but what's the biggest tip you ever got?
Good morning. I got $400. One evening from a very kind couple. I have a special needs son, and this couple comes in and sees me fairly regularly, and my son uses a communication tablet, and I needed a new one, and it had just come up in conversation, and I still wasn't even digging, and I go and I pick up the receipt after they had left, and my jaw dropped. And they had wrote for the iPad so that I could get my child a new iPad.
Oh, so sweet. So we need more stories like this.
I love that so much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Here's Shay. Shay, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Big tip.
Yes. So I was serving. It was around the holidays. It was a restaurant in South Carolina. And I was serving a group of ladies' private Christmas party. So at the beginning of the year, they start a blessing jar. And throughout the year, they collect money, however they collect it. And at the end of the year, when you serve them, they give the blessing jar to you. So this was not part of my gratuity. I still got my gratuity. I had no idea how much was in the blessing jar. So at the end of the night, I'm counting it, and it was $550 inside the blessing jar.
Damn.
Wow.
You need stories like this, man.
Yeah, you do.
That's fantastic. We should have led with these and not the 20,000.
Yeah. But it was Post Malone, man. It was Posty.
I just looked it up real quick. That dude's worth $45 million.
Dear Lord.
All right, so $10 million tip is still, or $20,000 is still hefty.
Yes.
He's worth $45 million.
Don't take away from what he did.
I'm not saying add more. No. I'm not taking away from it at all. But he won't feel that, even if he was drunk.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
The Burt Show.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, let us be Cupid's ambassador here. There was a missed connection, a love lost and found, that one of our listeners, one of our family members, needs help with. And it is a very, very strange one. But you got to listen to the details on this. And we're hoping one of you guys might be listening to know who she is looking for.
All right, here's the email we got from a Burt Show listener. Hey there. I told this story to a friend of mine, and she told me I should email this show. Although I'm a very private person, I do want to find this connection that I lost. Around Christmas this year, I went with my ex and our kid to the Center for Puppetry Arts for a Christmas show. By the way, I've taken Jimmy. It's a super cute place. You should go. While waiting for them at the exit, I heard this young child's voice say, "I'm mad at you," because his dad wouldn't let him go to the gift shop. I was surprised by how controlled the little one's voice was and how sweet his dad's response was to him. The dad said, "That's okay, buddy. You can be mad at me. It's just how you handle it." So I looked up, and it just so happened I'd exchanged numbers with this dad on a dating app nearly a year and a half ago. We texted back and forth for a while, almost met up. However, I ended up blocking his number because my ex and I decided to reconcile at the time. My ex and I ultimately divorced. I know what you're thinking. I didn't want to approach him because he was with his kid, and I'm not sure that he would have recognized me because I wear my hair differently these days. Given the opportunity, I'd like to reconnect with him. Thanks for taking the time to hear my story. Hope to hear from you soon.
All right, so we needed some deets on who we are looking for here, and our show director, Tommy, has them.
Yes, and she desperately wanted to join us today, but she was up all night with a sick kid.
Oh,
so
this kid.
She wasn't able to hop on the phone this morning.
Kids in the way everywhere.
Right.
Still dealing with a sick kid. So I got a lot of information yesterday. So just to recap, she is a single mom. She got divorced last September, so it's still pretty fresh. She's with her kid all the time, so dating obviously is kind of hard for her, isn't easy. Back when she and her ex first separated, she kept matching with this guy on Hinge.
Over and over and over again?
Yes. And they ended up texting for only like a week, though. And that was back in July of 2023. Then she ended up reconciling with her husband, so she ended up blocking the guy on Hinge. But she and her husband ended up divorcing anyway, so then she's kicking herself because she feels like she missed an opportunity with this guy.
So, Abby, you're in this game here. When you get blocked, is there any coming back from that, no matter what the situation is?
Well, I'm assuming when she says blocked, I'm assuming she means unmatched, because that's what I was confused about when she was like, "Oh, I blocked his number." I'm like, can't you just unblock his number? But if you get rid of somebody on Hinge, they are out of your feed, so you can't find them. It's not like going to Facebook where you can go ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. So it's not so much that like you would never give this person a chance. You might just never come across their profile ever again.
So fast forward to the Center of Puppetry Arts, where Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was going down just before Christmas. That show, by the way, like Krista said, is freaking amazing.
I'm kicking myself we didn't go because that's Jimmy's favorite Christmas song.
Don't miss it this year. Get your tickets early. All right, so back to that.
I think it's a little late to get your tickets early for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No, it's early to get the tickets because it doesn't have it till December.
Oh, okay.
He's saying buy them now for 2025.
Okay,
for
that's
this
25.
Very
this
early.
Year.
2025. This year. Bert, this year.
Okay, the never years. Mind. We're off track.
All right, you got off track. All right, so back to that. And she witnesses the cute little interaction with the dad and the boy. And she looks, she turns around and she looks up and it's the guy from Hinge. So from what she remembers, his name was Joe. He's probably in his early to mid-30s now, because remember this happened a couple years ago when they were talking on Hinge. He had a reddish beard, but his hair wasn't red. It was kind of darker brown. He showed her a picture where he had done some modeling for Lululemon. So she wasn't sure on that if that was real or not. But, but he said,
AI can use some impressive things on the phone.
I will be by the end of the day also.
He also is a gardener. He has a garden in his backyard. And she thought she remembered that he was in sales. And looking at his little boy at the puppet show, his little boy is probably around 4 years old.
Okay.
And that was all the info she had.
Ooh, so that's not a lot to go with here. I mean, but modeling for Lululemon? I mean, reddish beard?
That's pretty specific.
Early to mid-30s. So maybe we have something here. And if you know that he's got a kid that's around 4 years old, then maybe hit us up.
And we got a name.
And we got a name.
Joe. Could be anybody.
Man. Joe the Lululemon model. With the reddish beard.
In the garden.
He likes to garden.
All right. Hit us up today at producer@thebirdshow.com. We'll try to link these guys together. All right. If you like train wrecks, we might have one for you. All right. We have decided that we are going to try improv-ing. Not on the Burt Show, which is what we kind of do every day, with professionals on a stage at Dad's Garage.
Okay, this, for the record, when we were talking about this, this is not what this was supposed to be. An actual, like, performance where we sell tickets, the proceeds benefit Burt's Big Adventure. Uh-huh. Like, that, this has just snowballed into something so much bigger. We were just supposed to have a fun little group outing, bonding outing, where we did some like improv practice, whatever, at Dad's Garage, just us. And then all of a sudden, it's like January 23rd, Dad's Garage. Tickets are $25. Proceeds benefit Burt's Big Adventure. We're going to be performing live on stage.
Be there.
I'm like, what happened?
Have you guys ever done any kind of improv on stage before?
No.
You have not.
I have.
You have?
Yeah. Wow.
When I first, y'all probably don't remember. This is so long ago now. But when I first joined the show, you suggested that I take improv classes.
Right. We were like, you suck. Go do this.
Maybe this will help you.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't remember much of it. But I do remember them telling me, which I always stuck with me, was don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
If you're not afraid to fail, you'll be fine. But that's the only lesson I remember.
Well, God, that's what we think every day we crack the mics.
Abby, you've never done this.
I took an improv class, I took an acting class in college for 8 weeks, and one of the weeks was improv, so hopefully those 7 days really kick in 10 years later.
We did this as a show like 20 years ago, and it ended up being a pretty good night. First of all, it's a friendly audience. They know who we are, and they also know that we're not professionals, so I think we get like a little bit of grace there when it comes to that.
I don't know, man.
You can only hope.
All right, I will mention this, that even if the show sucks, you're still donating to Burt's Big Adventure. So that's a plus. Okay.
So there's that. And it would be nice to have some people in the seats, because that's going to be...
Yes.
That would be kind of a kick to the craw if we walk out there and it's like, cricket, cricket, cricket.
All right, and we are stacking the deck here also, because remember we had a bet on the show that is going to be paid off before we do our improv.
Yes. So depending on who loses their ping pong set, Messy Mikey or our social media producer, Rebecca, will kick off our improv night with some stand-up. Yes, they are going to have to do stand-up, which I believe we said was going to be written by the other person.
Right, yeah, and they weren't going to see it until they walk out on stage.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That is a train wreck for sure.
Yeah, so for sure. You're going to have either Messy Mikey or producer Rebecca do stand-up, and then you're going to have us make complete fools of ourselves on the stage doing improv, all for Burt's Big Adventure. You can get your tickets at dadsgarage.com.
Yeah, Dad's Garage is not a huge place, so I'm hoping that we can sell this thing out. So if I were you guys, I would go online and I would buy them today. Dadsgarage.com.
The Burt Show.
So what could get me so excited in the middle of the night that I would wake my kid up to watch Amazon Prime Video in the middle of the night? So let me set the stage for you here. My son and I were on vacation last week, and we were sharing a hotel room together. And on this particular night, he fell asleep before I did. And I have been watching, on Mo's suggestion, this documentary called It's in the Game. And it's all about the Madden video football game. Right, where how it started, all the issues that were going on behind the scenes with Madden. It's a great documentary.
Yeah, if you are a gamer, you know how big Madden is to the gaming culture. I mean, it was very fascinating as someone who has played Madden all of these years to just watch how it all came to be and the interactions that they had with John when he was still alive and how much he was hands on with the game. But just watching the process of how Madden became such a successful like franchise in the video game world was very interesting.
You guys, this game became so impactful with professional players in the NFL that you would get a ranking on the game based on 1 to 100 on how talented you were, right? Some players didn't like their rankings when they came out, so they would confront the producers of this game during practices and go, I can't believe you gave me a 94. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I'm a 96.
Genuinely mad. Not joking at all. Like, furious about the way that they were being ranked.
They were mad about it?
Mad.
What did you do?
Why?
What did you do?
Why? It was punny.
I liked it.
It was good.
About it.
It was funny.
So it's like a 5-episode documentary or something like that. But I was also going on a flight and I'm looking for things to watch, right? So I download it before I leave and I'm watching it on the plane. And on this particular night, maybe it was episode 3 or whatever, Hollis falls asleep in his bed and I'm watching the show. And there I am.
You?
There I am.
You?
Me. In the game.
In the Madden documentary.
I'm all in the documentary. Let me explain. So I'm not exactly sure what year Madden came out. What was it? Early 80s.
Late 90s, I believe.
Okay.
Like 97, something like that.
So I can't even remember the context of it, but they were showing NFL players at the Super Bowl on Media Day. Now, back in the day, in the 80s, we're going all the way back to 1988 now. And remember, I told you guys before that I was working at a country radio station, and I realized at some point, because I wanted to be a sportscaster so badly, I realized at some point that just being in that radio station and having the letterhead, I could get myself into the locker rooms of professional baseball games and football games and World Series games, right?
This was genius what you did.
Just by calling myself the sports director and sending it to the NFL and saying, I'm the sports director. KSON. KSON was a country station in San Diego and never did any sports at all. So,
it's freaking genius.
It really is.
It was incredible how it all fell together, really. So anyway, so I'm getting into these games, and the Super Bowl back then was played in San Diego, and I applied for a credential because I am the sports director.
You are press, baby.
I am press. I am the sports director of this non-existent sports department, but they okayed it, okay? So press day back then was all outside. It wasn't, it was just a whole bunch of reporters that used to go from player to player to player in the stadium. And on this particular day, I was maybe, I don't know, 20, 21 years old. I was so young. I had my hair spiked on one side. Also, I'm the youngest, quote unquote, reporter there. And I have my microphone down in a quarterback's face named Doug Williams. He was the quarterback of the Washington Redskins, and they were playing the Denver Broncos that year. And I was there on media day with a microphone right in front of Doug Williams' face. And it is a shot that actually ended up in Sports Illustrated. It ended up on our local TV station also that I was on, in our local paper, and that shot was in Madden's documentary.
Wow.
Wasn't that the first year that a black quarterback won the Super Bowl? Was that the year?
I think so. I think he might have been.
I think that's why that shot is like so infamous now.
Oh, and that, but why is it in the Madden documentary?
They were tying it into how at that time.
Because that was pre-Madden.
Right, but they were tying. Yeah. Why was it?
I can't remember. I'm so I'm blinded by my own ego.
Why the hell was you seeing in that documentary?
I don't know why they were showing it. I'm not.
How do you not know why it was pertinent to the doc?
I want to say it was. it had something to do with the fact that Madden was trying to incorporate realistic football into a video game for the first time. And they were trying to, like, get all of the players that were in important in the history of the NFL right and accurate. And I think him being the first black quarterback to win the Super Bowl had something to do with cover athletes and how they were going to use different athletes to be on different covers. But that's about all I can remember.
Random, though.
Yeah, super random.
I thought
you photoshopped it.
Dude,
I had
know,
to go back and watch it myself.
I was so excited. I woke up Hollis in the middle of the night. I'm like, dude, I know you're sleeping, and I'm so sorry for doing this, but you gotta watch this. And he woke up, he looked at it, went right back to sleep. but it was so incredibly random, man.
That's fine.
And I did screenshot it. I'll send it on, I'll put it on Instagram today, but just that one moment in time from 1988 to make it into the Madden documentary was mind-blowing to me.
All-time video game, and now you can always tell the story that the documentary was about me.
You're in the Miss Cleo documentary.
That's right.
You're in the Justin Bieber documentary.
The movie.
And you're in the Madden documentary.
Dance the trifecta, baby.
Get this man a high
This man is a legend.
We are done.
Get it? The Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Annabelle has called, and it has been labeled as a priority call. Annabelle, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I need you guys to either support me or talk me off the ledge because I'm losing it right now, and I'm about to go psycho, and I'm on a mission, and I'm driving to my ex-husband's house.
Okay, what's going on?
Yeah, so I just found out from my seven-year-old that their dad has a new friend, and it's a woman I've never heard of, let alone met, and apparently this friend has been spending the night at his house while our kids, who are 7 and 10, are there, and I've never met her, and you gotta love kids because they can't keep their mouth shut and they can't keep a secret.
Okay, so why are you driving on over to the house? I mean, you guys are divorced now, right?
Yeah, we've been divorced 2 years, and, like, I just find this completely unacceptable. This feels like a huge violation. And, like, we've been co-parenting, and it's been a nightmare, but, like, this is just crossing the line. Like, how do you have a woman I've never met sleeping in the house with our kid?
Okay, this is a tough one.
I'm not an expert in divorce. I'm not even really an expert in relationships, considering I can't get men to text me back. But isn't there usually some kind of agreement that you put in your divorce finalization that says when you decide to get in another relationship, you have to wait X amount of time to introduce them, or there's certain parameters about having adults near my children? Was there any kind of official agreement?
It happens in divorce agreements, but more often than not, it does not. There aren't those parameters.
It's more of an unsaid understanding rather than a written in ink
right.
Understanding.
Unless it is in ink. There are some that certainly are, but most of them are not. This is the hardest thing here about co-parenting too. Giving up this kind of control and you having the trust in your former significant other to do what's right. And he probably is based on his values and how much time they've been spending there. But of course, she's going to be mad about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I were you, Annabelle, I would be upset because it just seems to me like common sense. Before you introduce a person to our kids, you're going to give me some kind of heads up. And I mean, I'm trying to see it from your side and his side, because if I'm putting myself in his shoes and I'm divorced, I'm going to be like, granted, you're divorced and you divorced for a reason, but I'd be like, I can't believe you don't trust me and my own instincts to know what's best for my children, because yes, they are your children, but they're also my children, and I would never put them in a position where they could potentially get hurt.
Sure, you want to believe that, but what I heard you also say here, Annabelle, is that the co-parenting situation between the two of you guys has been a nightmare. Is that what you said?
Yeah, and this isn't helping. This is a complete violation. This is so unacceptable.
Okay, so when the co-parenting situation is good, more often than not, then you will check in with your former significant other and go, hey, just want to let you know that this relationship has gotten serious and I'm about to introduce the kids to my new significant other, when it's good. Mm-mm. When it's bad, the divorce is bad and the co-parenting situation is bad, your mind is out the door. You are not entitled to anything. I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what's best for the kids on my terms.
So let's say that this friend is a new person in his life, a new romantic option. Why do we got to go to his house? Why can't we just call him? Why can't we just shoot him a text? Be like, hey, kids are saying you've got someone sleeping over. What's going on here, buddy? Like, what, we're going to beat him up? What are we doing?
That was my question, because I can understand completely how you feel, but I don't see how going over there is going to make it any better. Like, what's your plan once you get there to resolve this?
She divorced him for a reason, you guys. He must be a manipulative liar.
Yeah, this is only going to make things worse. You know that, right?
Are you trying to get proof?
But I'm like, yeah, I want to head over and, like, confront him and see this woman, because I feel like if I call, he's not going to pick up the phone. And I just feel completely blindsided and disrespected. And, like, I don't know if I'm crazy, but if I should turn around, but, like, right now I want to demand accountability, because he never takes accountability for anything, and I'm just freaking out, and I feel like I need to corner him and get an answer.
So obviously the children are
are in his custody right now. So what I'm gathering from you is you're driving over there because you want to see with your own eyes. Because, yes, this is something your seven-year-old told you. And you did not prod your seven-year-old for more information, correct?
No, not really. I mean, I just kind of like, I didn't want to make a big deal out of it because I didn't want to, you know, bring him in the middle of it.
Of course. Okay, good. So because you don't like, this is something the kids need to stay out of, even though the kids are firmly in the middle of it. So what I'm understanding is, yes, you're taking the word of a seven-year-old, but you also want to see with your own eyes, is there indeed a woman staying at this house so I can confront him and be like, WTF, what are you doing here? This is inappropriate.
Correct. Yeah.
Look, they may not even know she's in the house. There's that possibility also. I can't see any scenario that works out well for you by just showing up and creating this kind of drama. Here is Cinta. Good morning. You're on the Bird Show, Cinta.
Good morning. I really think you shouldn't go. I am mom of a divorce, and in co-parenting. You shouldn't go there. You should call him and talk. This could, in fact, lead into a legal matter.
Yeah. Yeah, you start knocking on doors or you start banging on doors and stuff like that and things get heated, it could end up in a legal matter quickly.
And I don't think it's going to help him or force him to take accountability either. I think it's going to go the other way, give him more reason to not.
Here's Cindy that wants to give you some advice, and she wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning, Cindy. You're on The Bert Show.
Good morning. Been there, done that, almost went to jail. Thank goodness. I bruise a little easy, though. That's what saved me.
You what, a little easy?
I bruise a little easy. It got a little physical.
Oh.
When I picked up my children, and my middle one says, oh, Daddy had his friend there, and she wouldn't leave me alone. What do you mean she wouldn't leave you alone? She pinned me down on the floor and started tickling me. I spun my vehicle around, went back. The garage door was open, went into the house. He grabbed me. She looked at me, ran upstairs. He looked at me, started pushing me out. Of course, I started getting a little physical. It went really bad, so I left. But an hour later, after I got home, the sheriff shows up, was getting ready to arrest me, looks at me, says, oh, you're covered with the bruises. I said, yes, that was self-defense. And then he was going to arrest my ex-husband if I wanted to press charges.
Oh, no, that's, oh wow.
What a mess.
It got to that point. So I would say, nope, take a beat, calm down, and then go ahead and try to call him. If not, next time you exchange the children, have a conversation at that time. But don't go over there when you're mad. Not good.
100%
agree. That's great advice.
Everybody that's calling is telling you, you're not going to get... This is not going to get any better by you just knocking on the door, getting all mad and getting into a confrontation. Don't do it. Take a couple of breaths, take a little while, and then call him and talk to him about this. That conversation is probably not going to go well either because you guys aren't co-parenting well. But it's going to be a way better alternative than you going over there and creating a scene, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Take a breath. Take a breath, okay?
I love her, but
I'm
gonna
try.
That okay was not convincing.
No, it's not.
She's at the front door right now.
She has not turned around.
We warned you. The Bert Show.
Get it. The Bert Show.
So Annabelle is back. Kristen, who is Annabelle and why did she call?
I'm hoping Annabelle heeded our advice. I have a sneaking suspicion she did not. Annabelle called us up out of the blue. She was kind of in a panic and she needed us either to encourage her to keep going over to her ex-husband's house or to get her to shake some sense into her and to get her to turn around and go back home. So Annabelle and her ex-husband been divorced 2 years. It's been contentious when it comes to co-parenting their 7 and 10-year-old children. And the 7-year-old let slide that daddy has a quote unquote new friend that has been at the house. And Annabelle was oblivious to this new woman in her ex-husband's life. Not that she's jealous, but it's like, if you're going to have a new woman in your life and you're going to introduce this woman to the kids, if you're going to have her sleeping in the house with our children, I need to be introduced to her. So she was on her way over to her ex-husband's house because why she takes the word of her 7-year-old. She still wanted proof that there was a strange woman, at least strange to her, sleeping in her ex-husband's house while their kids were there, because this was the night he had custody.
So a whole bunch of you guys called up and have gone through this whole thing. Some woman called up and said she did this and she almost got arrested. It doesn't do any good at all, which is what we told Annabelle, and we thought we had sort of calmed her down from the whole situation. Annabelle, good morning. You're back. What's up?
Hi, I'm here.
Here where? Are you here at home?
I'm in front of the house.
Why?
And I have to. Like, I'm too upset to not. And his car's in the driveway, and I picked this time because I know the kids are already in school. Like, he'll drop them off and then come back. Because he doesn't go to work until, like, 9. So I just need to know, like... Yeah, I mean, there is another car parked in front of the house, but I can't tell if it's like a neighbor's car or a car for like his house. Like, I don't know. I know this is crazy, but I don't know if I should stay or go.
Well, we told you not to go in the first place, so we're going to have obvious advice here, and that's to go. Look, you're just going to create so much drama, especially if she's still there.
Well, no, here. Okay. I got your back, Annabelle, because I get as like you're in mama bear mode right now. There's a strange woman to you that's sleeping under the same roof as your children, and you don't feel comfortable with that. And I totally get it. I feel like as long as you stay in your car and you don't get out and you don't make a scene, you get the proof you need, and then you address this with your ex-husband. And I don't even think you address this via text. I don't think you address this in person with him. I think you take this to court. Ooh. I think you get a lawyer or you get a mediator, and then you guys sit down and be like, we need to talk about what we decided when it comes to our children and this divorce. And you can't be... You can't have somebody in your life and introduce them to the kids without letting me know.
Yeah, Ashley here is going to give you some advice about taking this thing to attorneys also. Hey, Ashley, good morning. Thank you for calling.
I was in the same situation. My co-parenting situation wasn't that great at the beginning. And the same thing happened where my daughter was staying over the person's house while he was at work. And I didn't know about this person. So my suggestion to you would be to go the court route and get everything you want in writing. It is very important for you to write down that you have to have introduction with this person before they're introduced to your kid.
From a guy that's been divorced, I think it's too late for that. I think what you need is a family therapist, because I don't know how you can go to an attorney and say, okay, we need to redo our divorce documents.
You can't make retroactive changes?
Why would he agree to that?
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. Technically, he didn't do anything illegal, right?
No.
Well, I think it also hinges on how she actually gets the proof that there's a romantic connection sleeping under his roof. Because if I'm his attorney, like if he's going to hire an attorney and she hires an attorney, and I hear that his ex-wife was staking out the house or like went banging on the door.
Wait, the door's opening. Oh my God. The door's opening.
Okay.
He's walking out alone. Oh my God. What if he sees me? Oh my God. What do I do?
Well, just kind of crouch down.
Don't do it.
Yeah, that way he already knows your car.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. He's in his car. Like, he didn't even look this way. Ooh, he's backing out of the driveway.
So the other car is still in the driveway and he's left?
No, it's not in the driveway. It's parked in front of the house. The other car.
Okay, he's driving off. Okay, yeah. There's still a car parked in front of his house. And it's like, ew, it's a BMW convertible like a whore would drive.
Stop it. The slut mobile is out front. Instead of the Oscar Mayer wiener mobile, it's the slut mobile.
There goes our BMW endorsement. Okay, so the car that's parked in front of the driveway, though, you don't know if the occupant of that car, the owner of that car, is actually in the house, though.
Correct. I mean, it could be at his house. It could be at a neighbor's house. We've had people park in front of our house, and they're not at our house.
If that man left, I feel like this is the universe really trying to save you, and you should just go home now. You got all you need.
Do not even entertain the thought of going to knock on the door in hopes that somebody in there is going to, like, open up the door and you can confront her.
Yeah, but if I just sit here and wait, I mean, he wouldn't leave her in the house, like, by herself.
You have no...
They're, like,
except, yeah, exactly, unless they're serious. And because you have told us already the divorce was bad, the co-parenting situation sucks, he doesn't feel like he's entitled to tell you anything about that relationship. So he could have seen her for weeks, months. You don't know what that is. And quite honestly...
And that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, because you guys are both co-parenting in a crappy way. So I don't know where to go with this, but I don't think you have any recourse legally.
You got to turn around.
Yeah, oh my God, the door's opening.
Oh.
Ooh. There's a woman coming out.
Now you have your proof.
Oh.
Housekeeper.
Is she a housekeeper?
She's blonde and she's locking the door, which means she has a key to his house. Key where my kids stay 50% of the time.
All right. Well, again, you need to chill out here for just a second because you don't know the definition of their relationship. You guys have not established a healthy communication or relationship. So I'm with you. I mean, in a healthy situation, though, I would tell my ex-wife, and that has happened, and she has told me when things got serious, but you guys aren't in that place. So while you're getting all pissed off, and I understand that you're going through mama bear type deal situation now, this has been created over the last couple of months, or I don't even know how long you guys have been divorced, but at this point, you can't do anything except communicate with him about it.
Except I know her.
Oh, you do?
Well,
oh my God, I know. Ooh, I'm trying not to cuss, you guys. I know her. He's dating. She can't be more than 25. And he's dating Kara, who's one of our old babysitters.
Okay, so maybe she's babysitting. How do we not know that?
No, seriously. How do you not know that?
Because she wouldn't be spending the night. He just left.
Even if he's dating the babysitter, so what? You've already vetted her. You know that the kids are safe around her. So, you know, if your issue is the new woman being around your kids, well, you know this woman and you have allowed her to be around your kids in the past. So that problem's kind of solved, honestly.
Well, and you can't pick and choose who your ex is going to date.
No, you can't, but you can, like...
You can communicate.
Common sense. Why are we faulting her when he was the one who didn't communicate that he has a new woman in his life that has met the children, that is allegedly spending the night, that he has given a key to the house, and he has not given his ex-wife, the mother of his children, a heads up?
Because I know nothing about this situation. I have no idea what their communication or relationship has been. All we're seeing is what we're seeing here today.
I feel like it goes both ways.
And I feel like we're saying that he's wrong, and we see where he's wrong, but how she's handling it is just not going to make it any better.
I just have a question. She is a babysitter. How is she driving a BMW convertible?
Okay.
Annabelle, really? This is not.
That's the real question here. All right. I'm not exactly sure where to go with this, except.
You need to talk to him.
Yeah. And you need to calm down. Don't call him right now.
No.
Don't call him in 1 hour. In fact, I would say do not even think about calling him till like 3 o'clock today or 5 o'clock today. And calm down. If you want this co-parenting situation to start getting better, you could use this situation as a springboard. But I don't know that you have that in you. You got to chill out.
Yeah.
5 hours should give you enough to find her OnlyFans and use it as evidence against her. So you're good.
Right. And I do agree with Bert, at the same time, like mom to mom, I get why you're so worked up.
Of course.
I do.
Sure.
And I understand why you are like you're pinging right now. But when you're pinging is not the time to have communication with anybody or confront anybody. So I'm glad you kept your butt in the car. I'm glad you got whatever evidence you need. Or not even evidence or proof, but I'm glad you saw what you did. So now you can get clarification on what's going on in that house while your kids are there. Because I think you are entitled to that.
This whole situation is a symptom of you guys being crappy co-parents. If you're better co-parents with each other and you lose that ego, none of this is happening today. So this is where it all starts with you guys.
Oh, you're triggering me.
What's that?
You're triggering me.
What else is there?
Well, here's the thing, because I have a friend who went through a really nasty divorce with an ex-husband who was a narcissistic, POS, manipulative, gaslighting a-hole. And she did everything in her power to co-parent well, and he was the one that made their situation a living freaking nightmare. So I'm definitely coming in here with heavy, heavy, heavy bias. And I'm a little bit Team Annabelle right now. And while we can blame both of them for co-parenting woes, sometimes that falls more on one person than the other.
Annabelle, call us tomorrow after you have the conversation, the calm conversation with your ex-husband tonight. Let's find out how it went, okay?
Okay, thanks so much, guys. All I'll right. try to calm down.
Find a good site, Annabelle!
Get it? The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.